This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 21st, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we play devil's advocate regarding the proposed marital rape bill and loosely about the equality bill. Apparently, the bills have already been drafted. And also, I invite you to help me with this conversation, as I have two guests, actually, and my guest, I'm trying to think of him, brings diversity to the conversation, and they bring diversity, culture, because they're well-traveled, and I want to introduce them, because they bring a different viewpoint. I actually have white bohemians in the studio with me, and the reason why I introduce them to like that is because the conversation that we've been having, I didn't hear their particular voice, if they see things differently. And you know the Bahamas are made up of different type of people. And I said, let me bring my friends. Let me see what they have to say about this thing. Do they see things differently from inner city people, right? Is there a cultural divide, right? And I wanted to know their views, particularly because these two have traveled around the world. They have immersed themselves to the finer things in life. And I'm just going to loosely say that, right? And I have my first guest, who's my friend for years, decades actually, who's Catherine Chrisnell, right? Yeah. And I welcome you.
Catherine Chrisnell. And what is really adding diversity to the conversation today, that anyone who's viewing this, is your top. I love it. I love the Kanga material that came out of, what, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania.
Thank you very much.
I thank you that this is such an exceptional experience, that you're diversifying with white Bahamians.
Yes. I want to introduce my next guest, who is Maria Kushel.
You've got Kushel. The zero for two. It's Chrisnell and Kushel. Like conch shell, but that's okay. We love you and forgive you.
I'm just going to start questioning your last names, you know, because I'm not used to pronouncing these things.
But well, hers was a manipulation of immigration anyway when it hit the state, so it is a story unto itself.
Kushel, did I pronounce them correctly?
Yeah, Kushel.
Okay, and just bring the mic closely, and I'm going to start off with this quote, and I'm going to have both of you join me with this conversation and see where I'm going. Like I said, I plan to play devil advocate with it, and I want to have your response. Maria is younger, actually, right? So I love to have her comments because of her age. She's 18, right? So it's going to be a young perspective about it. So I'm eager to hear her views about it. But this is a quote, right? This is from the Bishop Walter Hancho, and this is a quote here. I have never heard any woman in the Bahamas complain about being raped by their husband. Where did this all come from? And this is a direct quote that he posted on his Facebook page, right? That this ain't part of us. No woman in the Bahamas have ever complained about their husband raping them. That's some kind of foreign concept, right? So why have these foreigners come again and bring this type of dialogue, this conversation that we ain't dealing with, right? And I know that Catherine, that you have dealt with women's advocacy and women's rights, right? And I want to know, you know, I'm gonna bring Cedar in this, right? I want to know, where did this all come from? This doesn't seem to have been generated from the Bahamas. This is a foreign concept. And if it's foreign, I say dump it.
Well, what's interesting to me is the fact that I did tell us, my friend, that I was going to be talking about the global perspective today, because globally, as of Friday, India, in the Supreme Court of India was petitioned by its all-women's Democratic Party to again look at this issue of marital rape that ended on a hung jury at its high court, because they are one of the few countries, there's only 32 countries in the world that have not criminalized marital rape. Amongst those countries are places like the Republic of Congo, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India, places that are renowned for having women's rights left far, far behind decades ago. Over almost 30 years ago, the UN, in its meeting that was calling for the elimination against violence to women, asked that marital rape laws be looked at across the board as something that was discriminatory between women that were married and unmarried. Most of the countries that viewed themselves as non-archaic, as moving ahead, got on board, looked at those, and updated those. This law that we have is actually the hangover of the colonial ties that we are seeing as a nation, especially now with the passing of the Queen, we're looking to step away from, that we're looking to get away from the dark, the dust around our ankles of our colonial past, and saying we don't wish to be attributed to that. But this goes back, the basis for the not having marital rape as a law goes back to the 1700s, 1736, when I think it was Sir Matthew Hale wrote his book that talked about the theory of implied consent. The theory of implied consent is that within a marriage, you cannot have rape because you are technically your husband's property, his chattel. You're owned by him. It was a form of slavery, that you were legally never equal to him, and therefore you could never have the right to have violence put upon you by them. This law is what we're centuries later, this is what we have and updated. So when you say we're letting foreign people come in, foreign people tell us about what we're doing, we're like, no, we are hanging on to the colonial ties that keep us from being updated. And this is such an interesting time in history, because as we bid adieu to the Queen in whatever fashion you wish to do so, and as a historian, I know there's mixed manners in which we say goodbye to Her Majesty. We say, now, what are we going to do as a country moving forward? If not this year, in the next decade, in the years ahead, are we moving towards maybe a republic at some point? What do we have to claim as our history? And what are we going to say we're leaving behind? We must globally, not because any other place in world is doing, not because any Scandinavian country on Facebook is doing it, but because we as a country are saying, what is our reputation? What do we want to look like on a world scale? We will always, like any pretty woman, get the attention of the world because we have the looks, we have the natural assets, we have the talents.
And I hear you, Catherine. Yeah. I hear all of that, yeah. Right? And some would argue that the Bahamas has a proliferation of rapes happening in the Bahamas, right? But there's no narrative of husbands raping their wives. Well, and I just want to know, have you heard of a narrative of any husband raping their wives? Like, and then I want to ask Maria, right? Do you believe a husband can rape their wife?
No, I do not. I do not believe.
Go ahead. I want you to explain that.
No, growing up, I was always taught that I am my own person, that you are your own person, whether you be a male or a female. And when you go into a marriage, it is a sacred bond that should be respected. And honestly, I, as my own person, why would I go into a marriage when I could be trapped by this law, that I can be raped by my husband, or that I cannot pass on my nationality to my children?
Mm-hmm.
It takes out all of the
So what you're saying is that if you're entering into marriage, because I have a young girl, I have my own Grace, mm-hmm. that is 5 years old. I have my beloved nieces, lots of them. I have all my young girls and boys in my life that have been victims of sexual assault, because I've worked with children's homes in the Bahamas for almost two decades, ever since I came back after college. And I would say that, are we really looking? So I'm looking at Maria now. I'm like, are we telling our daughters that if you wish to be a Bahamian citizen, you are, and you wish to enter into marriage, you are signing up for something that does not give you equal rights,
right,
with
yeah.
your husband, or does not protect mm-hmm. your body? If you're a female citizen, you're saying that if you get married and having kids, you knowingly will be having kids, knowing they, that as a Bahamian mother, they will not have the same rights that a Bahamian father will.
Right, yeah, and it takes all the appeal out of marriage. So why would I want to go into the sacred bond that is something that I look forward to in life, Why should
there
I
you
do
go,
that?
Catherine. It's a sacred bond. And I think that what Maria is saying, that the laws diminish the sacredness of it. And so I hear her narrative, and she actually tried to explain it. But I want you to consider this quote. It's another quote by the Bishop, Walter Hanschel, again. A woman does not have the right to withhold sex from her husband except for prayer and fasting. And that's if he agrees. What do you think about that?
I completely agree that if the man was a husband in the true biblical sense, mm-hmm. that if he honored his wife as in he as Christ honored the church, that if he protected and went to the extent that he would sacrifice himself and his body as Christ did for the church, then that if that is the definition of husband being met, then we can talk about the holding or withholding of sex within a marriage. This is interesting to me because I feel like I wonder, as a woman, I haven't ever heard a woman saying, no, I don't want to be protected against this. Obviously, that which he hears has fallen on deaf ears, or he chooses not to engage in a target audience that is brave enough, strong enough, or able enough to speak to him, because rape happens within marriage. Pedophilia happens within a nuclear
rape
family.
Rape happens within marriage in the Bahamas? I just want to have an example. I hear you. I hear you, but I think you're just making that narrative up.
That it is a sacred bond under the Christian church, so it should be. Mm-hmm. And this is not to do it, so it should be. In its perfect form, marriage should be sacred, should be holy, and there should be a respect and intrinsic in it that would mean that this law would not be necessary. Unfortunately, crimes happen within the nuclear family all the time. There's child abuse. There can be theft. And yes, it can be acts of sexual violence, including rape, that are dangerous and must be protected by law within the marriage. When we hear the fear of men, and I think men have a lot of reason to feel fearful in this country. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about law here. We're talking about the relationships. We see the murders. We see the suicides. We see the acid being thrown in breakups. We see the violent attacks. And that is this is when we are striking out, when we hear these men saying, no, you're demonic for saying this. You are liberated Jezebel. This is coming from a place of fear. They are fearing that this law will be weaponized. It'll be used against them by women. And as other laws in the past, when it came to giving the vote to people of African descent, of women, they said, but they won't know how to use it. They're not smart enough. They're not strong enough. When it came to legalizing unions, they'll say, well, keep lazy people from hard work rather than protecting employees that could be victims of employers' tyranny from abuses. Any law can be mishandled. It can be twisted. But it put in place to protect people that need protection against criminal acts, and this is why this is necessary. There can be safeguards put in to protect against perjury. The fact that this is biblically defended in the country is something that I find sad and incoherent as someone
But surely the Bible trumps even the Constitution.
But isn't the Constitution one of the only ones in the world that does cite Christianity as its as a basis that we must be in alignment with it?
And looks like we want to forget God. But I have a caller here, and I want to ask Maria a question. I want to ask Maria a question because of her age. But I see you call. I'm going to come to you shortly. I know, Maria, you haven't been married yet.
No.
Right? And when you get married, you could be doing wifely things, right?
Yes.
Wifely duties. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bait your auntie right now, so she's gonna be listening, right? When you get married and your husband wants to perform husbandly duties, right? Will you make yourself available or give excuses? I mean, do you as a woman feel as if you should be able to say, hey, husband, I understand you have needs. I shall make myself accommodate you because this is my responsibility.
I think that when I'm looking for a husband, I'm going to look for somebody that I can commune with both on an intellectual level, on a loving level, and yes, on a sexual level as well. So if I marry a man, I hope that those three things will be in our relationship already. Mm-hmm. So, but if I ever did refuse my husband sex, I would have my reasons, and I would expect him to respect those reasons, and those reasons would be maybe I'm physically unable mm-hmm. at the time. Maybe I'm just tired, really, really tired after a long day's work with the kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just don't want to at that time. And I feel that my husband should respect that, should respect my wants and needs as I would respect his.
You know I'm coming back to you, right, mm-hmm. Maria? But let me get to this caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Good Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
As I listen to these ladies, right? And they're bringing in all of these foreign cultures talking this nonsense about women being treated as cattle and all them stuff like that. That won't happen in the Bahamas. But I'm going to say this. We have children today, perhaps right now, who are being abused. We had a young girl who was raped where she had to have a hysterectomy performed on her at 6 years old. But we have a deafening silence in this country. You know, but where is this loud noise coming from big, grown, married women who can walk away? When you have children, listen to this. You had close to 200 children between the ages of 10 and 14 who would have given birth. And in some instances, twice. And we are not getting any campaign. We are not getting nothing from Parliament. We are not getting nothing from the church, the pastors, the priests. We are not getting anything other than when something happens, you have a loud cry for about a day or two, and nothing happens. But where's this big campaign to eradicate this country of child abuse? Where's the campaign? We have, and I'm going to leave this with you. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Right now, if a woman who is giving birth, who is pregnant, gets murdered, and her unborn child life is interrupted, the commissioner had it right, you know that unborn child life doesn't count. Where are the mothers? Where are the mothers? Abortion is illegal, but if a pregnant woman's life is interrupted and the child dies, the unborn baby doesn't count. And not one woman in this country will try to advocate to change the law, but they're talking this nonsense about model rape that's going to be difficult to prove and all this other stuff, then they can deal with child rape in the country.
Thank you very much.
That's a sad indictment on these women. And they should all be ashamed of themselves. Every single one should be ashamed of themselves.
And I want Catherine to respond to you. And thank you very much, caller, for your call. But I want to read this in the record so you can respond to that, too, at the same time. So, good morning. I am a victim of rape in a marriage. So I think the bill should be passed. As for citizenship, so you only get married for citizenship, not for love. So that's two different points. But she says she's a victim of rape within the marriage, right? And I will ask you, why not leave? Surely that man was aggressive and abusive and a tyrant in the marriage before. And this rape is a product of that abuse, right? So surely, if you felt, and of course, being devil's advocate too, and a number of men do not understand this. If your man is abusive, leave, right? Or you can go to the police and report, man, this man's abusive. I need him to be put away. Why wait until you rape? And now you can respond to that, Kathy.
First of all, I'd like to thank the caller for his call. I really appreciate the passion in which you feel that anger and protection for our children that are being abused. I share that with you. I've been a part of the children's home systems of the Bahamas for almost 20 years. My heart is with Ranfali now. We deal all the time with children that are coming out of toxic families, that are dealing with the issues of rape, that are watching their mothers suffer with abuse and, yes, rape over the years. You're asking, why does this keep coming up? And somebody said, why are y'all still talking about this hot topic? It comes around once in a while. It's because it's human rights that matter, and that includes the rights of men. When I referred to chattel, I would just say that that is not an idea that I'm saying that women are owned within the country. I'm saying that that is what the laws are based on. Colonially, we took a lot of our laws from we took all of our laws from English culture, and they came with their truths and with their flaws. So that is truth, whether or not you accept it. The fact that women don't have the same citizen rights is truth, whether or not you accept it. Should marriage be based on love and other things? Yes, ma'am. The fact that there is violence that can happen within marriage and that a law should be passed should not be the center of this discussion, because it should be passed. It should not be opinion-based. We must protect those that must be protected. Crime exists wherever it exists. There are non-Christian people that enter marriage all the time, and they need the protection too. What we're protecting is the humanity of our entire nation. Yes, our children. Yes, those suffering with abuse. Yes, those that we are trying to protect and defend all the time, because in the end, we're worrying about the soul of a nation. So you should be ashamed of mothers that don't advocate in that way, and of the men, and of the churches, and of all of the groups that say that they stand up for the rights of one thing but not another. But the mixed bag that throws in a lot of issues to try to cover one truth is not the way that we can move forward in the country. If to say this is wrong, let's rectify it. This issue has been identified today as something to talk about, and I'm saying that this is something we must rectify if we're going to stand on a world stage and say that we are a believer in human rights. from the children up. I do not believe, my favorite Nelson Mandela quote is, the revelation of a society's soul is the manner in which it treats its children. So amen, and please keep that heart and fighting for our young people.
I have another caller that I want to put through. Go ahead, producer. Let's see what the caller say. How you doing, caller?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Neary, the gentleman that called and seemed to be so frustrated with the child rape and the kids having babies and all these other stuff. I'm curious. Do we have laws already on the books to protect these persons?
Yes, it's a Children's Protection Act. Which,
okay, and we have great laws.
Yes, there is. There's a well-written, extensive Children's Protection Act that protects against these. That it is a reality is something that continues to be the shame, disgrace, and heartbreak of our country. And the fact that nobody is supporting them is not true. There are groups, there is homes. I am with the Ramfley Homes for Children. That is an independent home that lives trying to find solutions for this. But there are lots of children trapped in these toxic situations. And they continue to need us to uncover that and support it legally and otherwise.
Okay, so I figured that much. But now, my next question. Do we have any laws on the book concerning marital rape? Not as yet, right?
At the moment, there's laws on the books that protect against violent and sexual assault
not
within
violence,
marriage.
Not violence. I didn't say violence. I said rape.
There is not, illegally, rape cannot exist within marriage. If there's any attorneys who want to call in with incite laws, please do so.
Okay, so I got that cleared up. So now that that's cleared up, do they now understand what it is that because I'm a part of the fight, that we are fighting for? There is laws already there to protect the kids. So when these things come forward, those persons, those perpetrators are locked up and go before the courts and go to jail. So however, we don't have the same thing for women's rights. So for women who are being raped and some men who are being raped in these marriages. So what is the problem about us making a cry over something that is not there? It has to start somewhere. And for those who feel like it's a problem, I know I may be wrong, but I feel like some of them are the perpetrators because that's why they don't want to be labeled as a rapist. So they try to cover it up by throwing something else out there. I'm not saying that the gentleman is, but I'm saying that's how I feel like some of these persons are there protecting themselves.
When the
disc... You have a lot of sheep and wolves and sheep clothing out there who doing these talks and try to make it seem like we are so wrong for wanting to be protected. I am one who wants to be protected. And I don't want you to call my rape cruelty. That's not what you call rape. You call rape rape. I would feel better knowing that the court knows that you raped me, the judge knows that you raped me, the police knows that you raped me, and now you know that I know. What I've been saying all along is what it is. Don't call it cruelty, and then you walk in court laughing at me for a cruelty thing that you get to say, see, I told you. Yeah, no. Rape is rape. I want it to be called what it is. Black is black, white is white. Like documents say, one is one and two is two. Okay?
Unless you're helping my daughter with math, and then one is like eight. Yes. One plus one is eight. And so they say, one of the quotes...
Thank you very much, Carla.
...is that when the disadvantageous use a law after centuries of it not existing, they'll be accused of misuse because the law wasn't meant for them. And this is not talking about marital rape. This is talking about the qualifying of the vote, which happened, again, decades ago. One of the other things that the gentleman caller said that I do appreciate is that he said, you know, it's almost impossible to approve. And that's one of the arguments that's being used widely again. It is like the burden of proof when a rape happens within marriage is dangerous. Another argument against it is that it's an attack on marriage. The fact that if you can go straight to rape, where's the counseling? Where is the intervention? Where are all the other little steps that can take you perhaps back to a healthier place? Are we trying to go after the destruction of marriage? When we say we, I'm not part of official movement. I'm a woman in the Bahamas that has a daughter, nieces, and women I care about. There are young men in the country that are victims of rape. There is abuses that happen within marriage towards and relationships towards men all the time. I'm friends with some of these men. I've seen the fear in which they live. However, we cannot have marriage as set up like little dictatorships in which the last bastion of ultimate power of any human against another human is within this sacrament that anything can happen because that is what we cling to. If that's the smallness of our mindset, then that's dangerous. That means we're subsistence living in our relationships. We can't grow past that because we feel powerless everywhere else. When you see name calling in debate, when we hear people calling demons, or my favorite is liberated Jezebels, I need to get that t-shirt made up. Mm-hmm. It's that is when in the art of war, when you start swinging your sword in all directions wildly and blasting verbal abuse, you are on the last legs of an argument. That is a desperate measure. Anything made calmly and clearly and cleanly and fairly should be stated so and defended as such.
And the Attorney General is moving to change the definition of rape. It's going to make it more broad in terms of not going to be male-centric or female-centric, but partners or whatever. And I want to engage Maria again, being a young person or younger person, young adult. Right?
Why are you paging us?
And see, I want to have different perspective in terms of how they interpret all of these things.
Right, yeah.
And I'm glad that Marie is 18 as a young woman just starting to date and seeking to get married in the future. Mm-hmm. I want to know your definition of rape. From your understanding, what you would consider as rape, broadly, using whatever words you feel comfortable with.
Well, I have been fortunate. I've never suffered any kind of rape. From the definition I have been taught and I have learned, it is non-consensual sex. And so I cannot fairly say that this is rape, this is what this is, because I've never experienced it. I've never had to come across it. But if I were asked, as you have asked me, if a man comes at me with a man, well, yeah, anyone, if anybody comes at me with sexual violence on their mind, if they assault me, then I would consider that rape.
Okay, I'm going to add this to you. Again, Dayton in the Bahamas at this present time, right? Say you were at a party, right? You're having fun. You're a little tipsy, but you know, but you're having fun. You're nice, but you're not drunk, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And this person who you know, friend, said, I won't drop you home unless you perform any act on me. Of course, that's duress. Of course, that's rape, right? And by definition, you're comfortable with that, Catherine? That's kind of rapish?
As CA takes us galloping off no, in a different
I'm
direction.
If I'm going to say that's rape, I want you at least say, yes, that's kind of, so I can ask about marriage.
Oh, you want me to condone your definition of it?
Would you see that as rape?
You are asked to give payment sexually to someone giving... That's prostitution. That's what that is.
No.
And
I'm,
you're saying,
in order
for you to give something to me, I must give you something sexually back is the oldest profession.
No, in order for me to drop you home, in order for me to leave you on the island...
There is some kind of payment you must give for a sexual favor is by definition prostitution.
Okay, let me give you an example. Working in tourism, right? I have come across some jet ski operators who would take tourists in the middle of the ocean and say, I'm going to throw you off unless we go on an island and do such and such. I've seen jet ski operators who brag and said, I'm taking you to this island. I'm going to leave you here deserted unless you do such and such. And of course, that's duress. They're waiting for your consent because any reasonable woman would say, hey, I'm not going to be left here. I'm a tourist. I'm not going to be left here on this island. So I will yield and do whatever you say. And the reason I brought it up is because that is part of the rape definition. And I want to bring it to the marriage. If a husband said, hey, I'm not paying any of these bills. I'm not paying the children school fee. I'm not giving you grocery money. I know you don't work. I'm not going to give you any money at all unless you perform for me. I want to know, is that duress and is that rape?
First of all, I'd like to compliment Maria as 18, just graduated from Queens College High School, for being on radio and be able to conduct yourself in this manner, talking about it. I think that it's really cool that this show allows voices, because a lot of times when we talk about these things, we're like, who's qualified? Are you an attorney? Are you a politician? Are you a bishop of whatever standing? Or who's allowed to talk on this? And young women are the people that should be talking about this. And so thank you
Absolutely.
For your courage. I don't
yes,
think
thank
I
you
could
for
have done
me.
This. I don't think I could have done this at 18. I think you're stretching wildly and randomly with these things. Basically, this goes back to the theory of implied consent, and which is why the marital law, rape law, doesn't stand. It's that if you enter into marriage, the theory is that there is an irrevocable consent. that you've already said I've entered into this, that which is sexual by nature, and therefore I must forever give consent. I must always be ready, willing, and able. Any woman that has, I feel like this is, again, this is a protection of marriage for the whole family. This is not just a women's issue. This is a family issue. We have toxic situations of shame and scandal happening in our family. The fact that there should be no violence within a family household of any kind is what we should be talking about. But the fact that specifically the violent act of rape that is hard and to prove, that does have lots of things attached to it, is not protected by law, is something that we do have to defend globally. Right. One of the things that always gets me is, like, when we say these foreign ideas, these foreign places, we are the ones that align our places, ourselves, with places like Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Republic of Congo, India, that still, as you said the other day to me, attacks circumcised women, because we are not updating ourselves. We are choosing our friends by not updating our laws. We are saying that's who we hold kin with. They're not coming in and saying you must do this. We're saying we as a republic conduct ourselves like this, believe like this. And why should we care? Because we must. Because we might not have chosen to be in a spotlight in the global community, but we are. We're pretty, we're popular, people come looking for us. We need to know how we conduct ourselves as a nation. We are decades behind those nations that put human, not just women, not just children's, human rights high on their priority list. And it's time for us to catch up. It saddens me that this is such a discussion. What saddens me more is, as our caller said before, and I felt his anger, but I also feel I feel, despite the fact that I think that he was trying to come at me, I actually understand his anger. He's like, what about these children? What else are we talking about? It's that none of this can be left out for it all to be okay. We're either a nation that, as a whole, without exception, defends human rights, or we don't. And this marital rape is one of the rights. And the fact that we put it in a mixed bag of other issues or try to make it more complex than it is sad and blind and untrue.
Mm-hmm. I see I have a caller here. I have two callers. Let me patch them in quickly. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi. Good morning. This is Lisa Bostwick-Dean speaking. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Very interesting topic this morning. I must confess that I did not hear the entire show, and I missed the callers. But someone called and told me that the show was on and that Mr. Nuri was asking for examples of marital rape. And so that was particularly why I was calling. I want to say that, save for those women who have come forward into the public forum to speak of their personal experiences, one cannot give examples of marital rape, even if a spouse has come and talked to you in confidence. That is not something that somebody can say to you, oh, well, let me give you the example of A or B. But I can tell you of an incident which was overheard by a neighbor in an adjoining apartment who would have called me alarmed at the time that it was going on. And she was awoken out of her sleep by the sound of what was clearly rape by her husband. She could hear the fist blows landing on the woman, in this case. She could hear the woman crying out in pain. Ah! Ah! She could hear that. She could hear the sounds of violent lovemaking. I can't call it lovemaking, rape, by the headboard slamming against the wall. The continued blows. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about rape. And people shouldn't dress it up or pretend that this is lovemaking or convincing or cajoling or any other form. You know rape when you see rape.
Ms. Dean, I want to ask you two more questions, too, and I appreciate you calling in to give your input. One, I want to ask, is duress a part of rape in terms of the definition? I'm not sure if you heard.
In the definition as it stands, I don't see that duress actually is. I heard your example when you said, what if I withdraw the finances? It could be twisted a little bit. It might be forced. But let me say this, Mr. Nuri. When we speak of these laws, people need to put on their practical hats, their common sense hat. I heard that at the lecture, at the symposium I was at. Common sense, but they were throwing it in a derogatory way at the women who supported the change of the laws, along with, of course, calling us demons and telling us where we were going to go, and it wasn't heaven. But anyway, Having said that, the reality of this is, let's put on our practical common sense hats. We, many of us, are advocating for domestic violence to be treated in a certain way by our laws. Thank God the new commissioner has now established a domestic violence unit in the police force. But we have a history in this Bahamas where, quite frankly, it's not only in the Bahamas, worldwide, where when people go in to complain that they are being abused within their home in a domestic situation, it is very often difficult to get the police to take full reports and to act. I'm not entirely blaming the police, because the police are somewhat conditioned to the fact that in these circumstances, the person who has been victimized often withdraws the complaint. But this is in the instance of domestic violence. I dare to say that when a woman or a man appears and says that their spouse raped them, and they stand up and they say, well, the way he did it was he said he wasn't going to pay the bills unless I had sex with him. It would be very rare, it would be difficult to get the police to actually act on that. We have to be practical, and it's not just the police. One of the reasons they won't do it is because they have to think that it is a case that can be won. And they know that if they put that to a jury, sadly, many of our juries comprised of women, and the Minister of National Security says he looks for women to be on his jury in matters like this because we judge each other more harshly than many men do. But when you go there and you say, I was raped, most people will say, that doesn't count, rightly or wrongly. I'm not going to pass judgment on whether that is the right position to them for them to take or the wrong position. But in practical terms, that will happen. And the police is not going to waste police time and resources on that kind of case.
And Ms. Dean, I have one more question I want you to...
Before you give me one more question, let me tell you where the police will put their time and resources. When you see a spouse show up in that station, badly bruised, broken bones, torn genitalia, that's when they're going to act. And I say to all of you out there who are listening, who in their right mind can say, I think it is just, it is the Christian thing for me to do to deny such a victim access to the seat of justice. For whatever reason, you're saying no. That's when they're going to act. They're not going to act because someone comes in and says, my husband raped me, and there's no... I'm not saying, understand me, that they are right or wrong. I'm being practical. You're not going to get the police really to move when they're going to say, and you really want me getting a marriage bet? How am I supposed to know if you consented or you don't consent? I mean, and how the jury going to know? Let's be practical, Bahamas.
And my second question is, as an advocate and as a lawyer, if the Attorney General decides that they're not going to use the word rape in this new definition and chooses to maybe an assault as a verbiage to use, that a man who forces his wife to have sex with them for whatever reason.
Or a woman. I've been very careful to say spouse
woman,
in my conversation.
And will it? And they use the word that is an assault, but it's not rape. Will you accept that?
You know, Mr. Nuri, I'm going to reserve on that. Right now, as it stands, the government, what it has put before us for us to consider, goes the whole nine yards. They call it rape. And I'm going to stick right there. That is what we're being asked to consider. We're not being asked to consider any amendment to, I think it's Section 15 of the Sexual Offenses Act, which, by the way, provides that there are circumstances in law today where a husband can rape, or a man, a woman, can rape their spouse. But the problem is that it only applies if you have begun, I'm going to say it in layman terms, if you have begun a divorce proceeding or if you have a separation agreement. So it doesn't apply where you haven't and this violent act occurs. Mm-hmm. But if you have and you commit, you force your spouse to have sex without their consent, you can be charged with spousal assault, and it's up to 15 years imprisonment. So when some people be running up their trap about what they could do to women, they need to realize that in certain circumstances, you can expose yourself to up to 15 years in prison today.
And you use the word spousal assault. What is that exactly?
It is having sexual intercourse with your spouse without their consent.
So we can use that instead of the word rape?
And you can, well, I'm not saying we can. The statute provides for such a definition in Section 15, but it doesn't apply to every section. So a law
currently exists then?
The law, but it doesn't apply to all circumstances. It's in, so you would have to take that out, the limitations.
So we can amend that particular law and not change, create this new law about this marital rape.
Well, it's not a new law, but I hear you. It's not a new law. It's to remove the forbidden part who is not his spouse.
So yes, perhaps we could advocate for that instead?
Well, like I said, I'm going with what is put before me right now,
yeah,
which provides that rape is rape.
So if the church
decides...
And under
this amendment, Section 6, Section 15 gets struck in its entirety.
So if the church decides to advocate for that Section 15 instead and say, hey, do away with this, what you're thinking about? We prefer this. Can we all yield and say, okay, let's all join hands, kumbaya, and do this?
Like I said, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to reserve. I need to hear fully where the church is going. Mm-hmm. Is that really a position that is being put forward? Until I really hear that as a solution, as a grouping, as Women United,
yes,
we are pushing for the definition to be as the government has proposed. I applaud them for going this far.
I'll be happy to have you come on the show and give your legal expertise, and so I can challenge you on some of these definitions.
I'm so happy that you're cutting me loose right now, because I said I can't. I'm supposed to be working. So I actually cut some meetings and stuff. I've got to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate you cutting me loose right now.
I appreciate you.
You all have a good show.
Yes, ma'am. I have another caller there. Let's producer get them on so they can give their opinions. How you doing, caller? Can you hear me, caller? No? Caller, you're gone? So, okay, there's another caller call back. Can you hear me, caller? No? Still not, nothing? Yeah. Okay, go ahead, caller. I can hear you. You're a muffled caller.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you, caller.
Hello?
Yes, caller, I can hear you. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties, so we disconnect the caller and go back to Catherine.
Here, as well as the bishop, here's women. But thank you so much for our
caller still there?
Call.
Can you hear me, caller? Okay, go ahead, caller, before I go to Catherine.
Yes, this is the next caller, but I want to call first to commend the young lady, the 18-year-old, for her stance on the situation. But I had a suggestion we could kind of simplify the whole situation at hand, and that is almost like when you get married and you sign a prenuptial agreement. If there's a lady in the world, first of all, I want to let the Bahamas know I don't believe in harming anybody at all, especially ladies and children, first and foremost. But if there's a lady that believes that her husband could rape her or would rape her, I don't think she should be married to that gentleman. And like the young lady said, marriage is sacred. And I mean, I had a few points I wanted to make, but there was a whole lot of conversation going on, and I was listening to all of it and kind of lost a little bit. But I don't think, like I said, I think a lady should have the rights, and I don't think a man should be able to rape a lady. But I don't think it's a law that should actually be able to stand, be it the fact that and right now, back in the day, a few years back, they said in order to stop the Violence and Rape Act, you can actually, protruded or touched and not fight back. And when the whole situation is done, report the rape without all of the violence. So how could a young man and a young lady live together and then, maybe she didn't want sex that day or didn't actually communicate with her husband that she didn't want it. And then after they're done, she gets up, gets dressed. He goes and lay down, maybe goes to sleep or watch TV or something. And then she goes to the police station and says she is raped. How could that even be fair? And like I say, as a young man, if my woman, even on a one-night stand, if you invite a lady to your room or where you live, And then at the end of the night, she knows, well, probably the reason why you wanted to come there. Now, she doesn't change her mind to participate. I think a gentleman or any man or human being, vice versa, be it man or woman, should understand, well, maybe the feeling is gone right now. So, well, it won't happen tonight or whatsoever, but if you live in, I don't think a man and a woman, even just living together, should be able to confide rape charges. Because from once you enter a person's domain, you put yourself at a certain risk. And I think women should be more responsible with the decisions they make instead of trying to always try this, like, victimization type of situation. Like for instance,
Carla, what we're going to do is I can have Catherine respond to that. I see your points, but I'll have Catherine respond to that. And before you respond to that, let me read a quote from Facebook from Reverend Cedric Morris about forced sexual intercourse in marriage. I find it unimaginable that any right-thinking behemoth opposes passing a law that protects spouses from forced sexual intercourse in marriage. To my mind, the only concern should be for government to be careful that in passing such a law, they do not undermine marriage, which can easily be done. It is towards a disconcern that our efforts should be directed.
And the big fear, and I think what the caller is saying, the big fear is that in any time you try to legislate the privacy and the intimacy within a relationship. Thank you to our previous caller, also on behalf of Women's United. And I think it was attorney Tanya Wright that wrote an article earlier in August after a court ruling saying how can sexual assault by a spouse exist and be punishable for up to 15 years, but an act of rape not exist? How is it possible to have one in a marriage but not another? They are both within the same brand of criminalization. As a man, whenever I hear men talk on this topic, I always think the great fear is that your wife gets mad at you and one day you end up in police custody because a fight ended in a rape charge rather than in all of the other ways it could resolve. This law is not to put those types of situations, it must have safeguards for those types of situations can't happen with that kind of ease, and that it is to actually protect women that are real victims of active violence in their lives. This is true. Whether you cling to the colonial laws, whether you defend it legally, whether you come from a so-called Christian point of view, and I say that because when we talk about the church, because you love referring to the church, not everyone who stands up and calls themselves a bishop talks about the way, the truth of the church of all Christians, okay? There is a truth, and that there is no Christian faith that could defend against any kind of violence towards innocent women, children, or men. The moral, the public opinion, culturally, whether this is right, whether we need to bring foreign ideas, whatever complexities we house this in, we must make sure that legally we are proud and clean when we're taking care of that everyone in our society. And this is not a fair or just law. Also, I just want to say, because you keep bringing up finances and contractual agreements within marriage. If that is said, then I want to ask you, so if your wife says, sure, I'll give it to you, but have you paid the bills? Where's my college saving plans? Have you provided for me? If it was implicit that I must be sexually available for you, wasn't it implicit that you must be financially responsible for me and all of my needs? I mean, so is that fair then to withhold if that side of the implied contract isn't being met?
Then you get up and leave.
You get up and leave. And so the fact that, in the end, the fear that women are going to misuse this law comes with the grand assumption that all women are habitual liars and are incapable of truth and conscience. We cannot legalize against that. You can't legalize against people that will use a good... You can't not have laws to protect children because a child might lie on an adult. You still have to protect against children, yes.
And I'm actually out of time, and I want this conversation to continue. What you doing Friday?
I miss you already.
But what you doing Friday?
I'm wearing a shirt as bright as yours and coming back.
You want to come here on Friday?
We'll be here for you. We'll be here for you, and maybe...
So I want to continue this conversation on Friday, right? Because there are some... I still say jurors is a part of rape, right? Forcing. And I want to engage Maria more as a young adult moving into her sexuality in terms of how she dates,
You think she's coming back after that? No.
We'll make an appointment for Friday. same time to continue this conversation, right? Because I want to know, to talk to Maria about her dating, where sexual engagement is physical, where sex is different from how you would have done 5, 10, 20 years ago.
And we will tell her dad, Jim, not to tune in that
day. Okay, no, I'm not. I don't want to hear her likes. I just want to know how she considers it. But anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in
the
AM.
Thank you for the opportunity to have this kind of discussion. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for coming on and joining me with this discussion.
Thank you, Women's United.
Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow.